Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and this is Carl. And with us, of course, we have Vicki, and this is our third episode of our Intense series. Vicki, say hello and tell us a little bit about what we're doing tonight.
Hello, everyone. Tonight on Intent, we're trying to figure out the intent of the controversy over the post office does commemorative stamps all the time to make money. I have the Star Trek ones. A friend of mine bought them for me. It's so cool. I bought the dinosaur ones for my kids, my sons, when they were little. I mean, you know, they have cool stamps all the time. Well, this year they decided to commemorate Shel Silverstein and his, him as a writer, but they decided to use the Giving Tree on the stamp. And that's where the controversy comes in. And the intent behind it is, I don't know what. So we're going to look at the controversy of it. We're going to look at the poem. We're going to look at what Carl thinks, what I think, and we're going to try to get through, because intent is everything.
Absolutely. So the book was written in 1963, I believe, is when it was published. And it's a children's book, and it basically tells the story of a boy and a tree, and the tree loves the boy, and he swings on the branches, but time passes, and with each time that the boy is introduced, he becomes older and older and wants more and more from the tree, which he's willing to give. And so it was a book that I read very, very young. I must have been 4 or 5 at the time that I read it. And I love the book, and I'm a big Shel Silverstein fan, so just to give you that. But there's a lot of kickback in terms of, what does this story teach? And a lot of the kickback has said that the story celebrates selfishness in terms of the boy and what he wants from the tree. And so that's there was an article about a month ago that we both read, Vicki and I, and we decided to do this. And I sort of understand their point. I don't exactly agree with it, not totally at least. But that gives you an overview. So Vicki, do you want to add anything to that, or did I forget something or misrepresent something in that?
No, I think that's pretty close to the bare bones of it. I looked at all kinds of children's poetry, not just because I'm a mother, but I also have a degree in world literature. Oh, ignore that beeping. That's my job that I just resigned from. So ignore that, please.
Okay.
The idea of what the words say, the intent behind what the author is putting together by the structure of the words, that is where we find a lot of people disagree on this whole kids book. And I'm of a firm understanding from my background that this is, I wish I could talk to Shel, because I don't see this as a children's story at all. And in fact, I'm terrible in many ways, and a warning even. And so to take this, Shel Silverstein wrote tons and tons of other things, other poems, books, stories, everything. To take this, the Giving Tree, and put it on the stamp and put not the tree, the title of the book, not the tree, but the boy with his arms up saying to the tree, give me more. The intent behind that little picture on the stamp is where a lot of the controversy for the stamp comes from. And I'll bet you it's not a very popular stamp. You know, I should look up those stats. So what do you think, Carl?
Well, I think that the image, they could have done the cover art image, which I think would have been much better. You know, the thing about this, and you did mention that Shel Silverstein wrote many different types of things. And in fact, you know, only a small portion of his work is children's, what they consider children's literature. I mean, he did a lot of adult stuff. He even wrote for Playboy and things like this. Now, that's neither here nor there. But even
right.
in his children's literature, Where the Sidewalk Ends, and that, there are definite poems that are questionable to people. And there's several of his books that are banned in school libraries, including Where the Sidewalk Ends, because of that. And if you really read Silverstein and his children's books, I absolutely agree with you, Vicki. They're not exactly children's books.
Right.
There's a childlike sensibility about them. But he talks about a lot of things. He talks about death. He talks about even nudity
yes.
and things like that and Where the Sidewalk Ends. And in this particular book, The Giving Tree, you know, he is – you know, it's as we grow older, if you take a look at how the book is designed, each time that the boy reappears, he's much older. 10 years have gone by, 20 years have gone by. And if we take a look at adults and we grow from kids to adults and we have different needs at different times. And I think that's really what he's looking at. And saying, is this right that you know, we need all these things and we ask one person. One of the things that have come by that I read is the different points of opinion here. Is you're a parent, right? And you have kids.
Yes.
And you love them all the way through your life and their life. And if they need something, you're going to provide it the best you can. And so a lot of people say that the tree is a parable for parenthood, which
right.
actually I tend to agree with more than the boy being selfish. and that certainly goes through some of Shel's other work that he's done over the years and other writings and things like that. So I take it in that terms, you know. I mean, I can see the point of selfishness, but don't we want to take a look and like say to a young kid, you're being selfish. What is that? You know, and try to teach them that, you know, use it as a teaching tool. And I think you can with this book, if you want to go that way.
Yeah. Well, okay, but. All right. Yes. Yes, 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 yes. Yes, of course. People grow up. They're babies, they're toddlers, they're children, they're teenagers, they're young adults, they're mature adults, and then they're older adults. Okay? Yes, yes, yes. And this poem goes through that. But it never shows the boy. So this is where I have a problem with choosing this one particular, I like where the sidewalk ends. There's all kinds of great stuff in that they could have chosen. But they chose the boy from the giving tree with his looking up at the tree that gives and gives and gives and gives everything to the boy. And they just show him standing in the grassy green background, holding his arms up, and a apple falling down to those wanting hands. Now, you're not a parent, Carl, and
you do not
know the sacrifices of a parent. And so, here's the thing. There is this other thing about parenting that is the hardest, and that is when to say no. When to say no. No, you can't have that. No, I'm not going to pay for that. No, you must stay home tonight. No, I am not going to buy a house for you. You go get a job and buy your own house. Those kinds of things. Those are the things that the giving tree actually pulls up and shows.
Mm-hmm.
And yet that tree gives everything, the leaves, the branches. Finally, it's a stump. And the boy takes and takes and never gives back. So if you're going to use it as a teaching tool, maybe you ought to have that in the foreword of your book. Because America's dumb. And sorry, people out there, but nobody reads. Nobody gets literature degrees anymore. And we're dumb. So people are going to look at that and say, oh, how beautiful. That's the way all parents should be. And some of them are going to stumble into giving and giving and giving. I know a lot of parents. I know tons of parents, especially in my job. And these are parents that give and give and give. And what do I have and see and deal with? Selfish, selfish children. So there needs to be something, some kind of warning sign on the poem. So then they take that whole idea and they make it stand out with the stamp because they give no recognition to the tree. None.
Mm-hmm.
So what is the intent behind that? Who approved that? Selfish Americans, I guess. What? You know, I'm not agreeing at all with the stamp. I think I'm pretty much on the side of why did they do that in that way, and why didn't they pick another piece of literature from Shel Silverstein?
I think one of the reasons is it's the 60th anniversary of the book, I'm pretty sure. And it was a Newbery Award winner. It's the only book that he wrote that won an award, particularly for children's literature. And I think that may be the reason that they picked The Giving Tree. But no matter what they would pick from Shel Silverstein, there would be feedback. There would be people that wouldn't like it because he, in many ways, he didn't treat children as children.
I wouldn't say that. I would say that he treated children pragmatically. Wonder if I packed my book or if it's still out here. I would say that he treated them very pragmatically, meaning that he wasn't one of those people that hides death from children.
Right.
That is not something that he would do. Or the harshness of the reality of divorce. He wouldn't hide mm-hmm. that from children either. So I wouldn't say he didn't treat children like children. I would say that he was pragmatic in the way he treated children. And that, in a way, is refreshing. Mm-hmm. Need to know when their lives are going to change. They don't need Disney fairy tales.
Right. And yet, a lot of his work is whimsy and fun and make you laugh. But this book never made you laugh. I mean, this book made me cry. And I look at it.
But why?
Okay.
Why would you cry?
I was going to get there.
Okay, here it is. I found it.
Because it was funny. I felt, at the end of the book, I felt really sorry for the tree.
Well,
number
yeah.
one. Number two, I also felt proud of the tree because she did give. You know, there's something about giving that is good up to a point, as you well know. You know, you make that very clear, and I agree with you. But I was very sad for the tree. And in many ways, I wasn't sad for at the end, he's an old man. I wasn't sad for the boy. I was sad for the tree. And if you really look at it that way, you know, maybe you are getting the lesson that you shouldn't be, that people can be selfish and take advantage of you. Because I certainly felt sad for the tree, not that I, at that point in time, I was only 5 years old. But so I couldn't process exactly why. But if I look back at it, yeah, that tree was taken advantage of. I know that. Now, I didn't really realize it back when I read it when I was very young. But I still felt sad for the tree. I wonder how many kids felt that way when they first read that. That's a good question. I don't know the answer to that.
Well, I wouldn't recommend any child reading this book if a parent wasn't with them reading it, because the child, being unsophisticated in words, would get the wrong meaning out of it. A child reading this by themselves would get the wrong idea. It's like, oh, if I just ask, grown-ups are going to give me whatever I want. And that mm-hmm. is another part of the controversy.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, you mentioned something that I totally believe in, that parents should have an interest in what their kids read, what their kids listen to, music, but it's the parents' responsibility. And, of course, you work with a lot of these parents, and I don't. But I would guess from your previous statements that a lot of these parents don't do that to their kids.
Well, most parents don't read to their kids anymore anyway. And that's a real shame.
No.
But,
oh, absolutely.
I wouldn't just sit down, you know, give the kid, here's something as a present, and then give it to him. Actually, I have something about that. You did give this book to my younger son, and he didn't like it at all. And he was very much in a quandary of why you gave him that book. You don't have to answer the question or anything, but it's a very clear recollection in our
mm-hmm.
lives.
Oh, absolutely. I agree.
And so, it's one of his least favorite books in the entire world. And so there's – I can't find it. I'm sorry. I'm trying to do two things. At the same time, I found my copy of Where the Sidewalk Ends.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh. And I can't find the rhinoceros one. But there's so many pictures in here that Shell drew to
mm-hmm.
go along with so many of these poems that they could have chosen any of this. Just because it's the 60th anniversary of something doesn't mean you have to commemorate it on a postal stamp.
No, that's true.
I know that's what they do. I know that's what they do because the Star Trek was the 50th anniversary of Star Trek. And so I know that's what they do. with many stamps. But they could have just chosen Shell and taken any of this artwork, which some of it is so gorgeous and not scary,
mm-hmm.
and to a couple of the poems that are so wonderful and not so controversial, and voila, no controversy. Maybe they did it on purpose. Maybe the intent behind it was to draw in controversy so that people would buy the stamp and the post office would get money.
And of course, that happens. Don't think that doesn't happen. You know, I don't know. The book, well, I have a great love of Shel Silverstein for many reasons, as you well know. And I've even talked about it on other shows, how much I really like Shel. But he is someone that I think has a unique voice for children. And the thing about it, I think you used the right word. He's pragmatic. In other words, he doesn't say what you should feel. Right?
No. If you examine his words, the words of a poet, because that's the biggest part of a poet is the words. He does tell you how to feel. He gives you the opposite of what you think he's going to give you.
Right.
He is very emotional. He uses emotionally charged words. But mm-hmm. But he doesn't sugarcoat them at all.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't. And yet he does. And if you take a look at the words and you take a look at the pictures, the whimsical pictures he does, he, there's a balance there. There is a balance. And sometimes it's very precarious. But he is someone that when you read his work, sometimes there are more questions than there are answers. And I think for anyone to read something and to have questions and to say, you know, to develop some sort of conversation with whoever would be parent or you know, even friends or things like that, I think that's a good thing. You know, I mean, you know, to have the mind active and not, you know, be pulled by the short hairs and told how to feel and how to act, you know. And I think he's very good at that. What do you think, Vic?
Listen to the must, child. Listen to the don't. Listen to the shouldn'ts, the impossibles, the won'ts. Listen to the never-haves, then listen close to me. Anything can happen, child. Anything can be.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
One of my favorite poems by him, by the way.
It's really, really beautiful because it doesn't say, listen to the people that tell you to dream. Listen to the people that tell you to set goals. Listen to the people that tell you to be all you can be. Listen to the people who say, just do it.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what he's saying. And so it's the total, it turns it upside down.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Don't listen to people that say you can't do something, that it's impossible.
Another short one.
Okay,
called
go
the
for
voice.
It.
The voice. There is a voice inside of you that whispers all day long. I feel this is right for me. I know that is wrong. No teacher, preacher, parent, friend, or wise man can decide what's right for you. Just listen to the voice that speaks inside. Some people would say that is subversive and turns everything we try to teach children upside down.
Yeah, absolutely. And they'd be right.
But it's very plain and very out there. And so, you know, these are the kinds of words that they could have used with the little pictures that go along with them on a stamp or several stamps. You know, because like the dinosaur stamps and the Star Trek stamps, they are all different. They're
right.
Well, they're not all different. But some stamps even are a picture. And then if you actually use those stamps, which you shouldn't, but if you use those stamps, you peel apart the picture. It's one whole picture and you peel it apart. But there are many stamps, like the dinosaur stamps had all the different Jurassic Park dinosaurs on them. And so the thing is, what's the intent behind the giving tree and not showing the tree? Only the apple falling down to the tree as the boy's got his selfish, wide-open arms looking up, give me more, give me more, give me more.
Well, I think, to be honest with you, I think that's the wrong image. I think that's definitely the wrong image. Because it just emphasizes the selfishness. That's not exactly his point. You know, we misconstrue things. We look at things and we don't get the whole point because we're not seeing the whole picture, right? You're just seeing one image from this book. And granted, if you saw all the images, you might have the same attitude toward it, and that's fine. But I do think that, you know, the one thing that is very, very apparent is that there are many different opinions on this and on the book itself. And that's very true of all of Shel's stuff. He tends to be a bit subversive and divisive. And whether or not you like him or not, that to me is a mark of someone who's unique. And does something different than most. You know, I mean, there are a couple people I think that have done children's books that are along the same lines, one being Burke Breathed of Boone County fame. But still, I wouldn't even put him close to Shel Silverstein.
Yeah, but I wouldn't exactly call those children's books.
Well,
what do you qualify as a children's book?
I know, but they're certainly marketed that way.
Wait, what? They're marketed that way?
Oh, sure. Where do you find The Giving Tree? In what section of Barnes & Noble?
Well, yeah, you find, yes, but I'm talking about Burke Breathed's work.
Well, he has children's books that are in the children's section. He does. A Wish for Wings at Work is one. Edward Fuddruper Fibbed Big is another one. It's in the children's. He's done children's books. And they're marked as such.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
Because all I know is Boone County.
Which is not a children's book.
That's what I'm saying. You know, that's what I'm saying. That's because I did not know that he wrote children's books, too.
Well, you know, that's the thing about Silverstein, too. So, his first fame was writing for Playboy and doing adult cartoons for Playboy before he even got into children's books.
Right. Well, if you're a writer, you have to do a lot of different things to to make money. Boy, that's there's nothing more truthful than that. No one likes writers. They love to take writers' work, but they never like to pay us. So,
Understood.
So, okay, I see that. I see that right here. Okay, I looked it up. Okay. Oh, he's done a lot. These are some really good things. That's not very good. But, okay. Yeah, a lot of people write children's books. And
even
so,
Philip K. Dick did one, too.
That's
kind of scary.
Kind of scary. Absolutely. That's taking your phrase. That's kind of scary. And so, but it just goes back again to, I just wonder, and I wonder about the intent behind people who get I read both back when you first showed me that other article, and both sides of the controversy. And I feel that the people who think that The Giving Tree is such a wonderful children's book, I feel that they're very narrow-minded, especially in their argument to commemorate the stamp the way they did. I find it limited in their imaginations, actually, because I don't think The Giving Tree was the right piece. Even though it was, like you said, the 60th anniversary, you don't have to do the 60th anniversary. You can do it next year and just do one of his other pieces of writing. It doesn't have to be. Maybe because that's the only one that he won his award for, but still, it's not right. It's not right to do that.
Well, the funny thing is, in one of the arguments I would make, maybe the best thing to do is not do one at all for Shel Silverstein, because no matter what, if you do, you're going to get controversy, no matter what you pick.
So maybe their intent was to sell.
And that could be too. You know, that could be too, because take a look at the band books list, and you'll see Shel Silverstein, The Giving Tree.
Oh yeah,
you'll see Where the Sidewalk Ends. You'll see most of his other books have been banned by PTAs because they're subversive or whatever you want to say, you know. But there's no doubt that in his writing and what he did, he tapped into something that nobody else did in terms of talking to children, particularly during the period that it was written. And I always take a look at that, right? You want to look at, you know, the time frame when it was written and what kind of – is the message different than what else is being said at that time? And how is it different? And why did this become – such a big seller, because it's his biggest seller by far. I mean, they're still selling that book to this day.
I'm thinking that a lot of people don't know what it's about. They've heard it, it's word of mouth, and then when they buy it, that's one of my big things about this book, is if you don't know what it's really about, which I agree with the New York Times writer, that it's a warning of giving too much of the difference between what – I want to get this right. It's the difference between selfishness and generosity.
Right.
That's what it's about. And the boy is selfish, of course. The tree is – giving and giving to the point of fault. Because some people consider the tree as the unconditional love of a parent, right?
Right.
But the unconditional love of a parent actually means you have to say no.
Mm-hmm.
You can't let your child grow up in fantasy land, because then when they become an adult, the world hits them harder than they need to be hit.
Right.
And that causes a lot of problems. So if it's marketed as a beloved children's story, a lot of people are going to purchase it, they're going to read it, and they're going, oh, is that what we're supposed to do?
Interesting.
And so that's why it needs to have a foreword.
It's hard for me to argue against it, okay? And I think it's because how much Shel Silverstein, when I was young, informed me on certain things. And you know, both of us, you know, we grew up basically at the same time. We both read incessantly, and we both read above our pay scale, you know, our education scale. I was reading encyclopedias at the age of five, you know.
Yeah,
so
but that doesn't
maybe,
mean anything.
No, no.
It really just
but,
doesn't
but,
mean anything.
But what I'm saying is I got a lot from him that I didn't get anywhere else. The poem that you said, the first poem you read,
uh-huh.
I remember seeing that. Don't, you know, because think about this, okay? I grew up in braces. The doctor said I would never walk, right? And I did, and it's like, don't listen to those people that say you can't. Don't listen to those people that say you won't. Don't. Listen to your own, you know, and I fought and my folks fought for me to be able to walk and to get out of those braces, which I did. And it was Shel Silverstein and it was a lot of his attitude that helped me get through that because it gave me the courage to you know, tell, you know, feel like I could tell someone off and tell them to go fuck off if I had to, or whatever the case would be. It gave me that attitude. And that attitude helped me survive and helped me become better. So I have a real love for what he did as far as children's literature or what is considered children's literature. Let's put it that way. So it's hard for me to argue against him. So
well,
I
I'm not arguing against him. I think he's a brilliant poet. I always have thought he's a brilliant poet. The way he uses words, he's very lyrical, and he's definitely got his meter down and all of that. I mean, he's got a gift for poetry, okay? He's as good as Shakespeare. Seriously. Very, very good. But, you know, we could always wonder what's the intent behind it. And those who market it as children's literature, maybe they're the ones who are wrong. Maybe
that
they
could very
just
well
want to
be.
Make a buck off of Shel's work because he's such a brilliant poet. And perhaps it's not children's literature at all. Maybe because it has pictures drawn with it, and sometimes it refers to children. Maybe it's not children's literature at all, but those who don't understand poetry, who don't take the time to read the words as they are meant to be read, get the wrong idea. They have dollar signs in their eyes. And they're just like, oh, we can market this as children's books always sell. Let's market it as children, and bam, the dollars come rolling in. Because it's true, parents buy books for kids that they never read.
Right, that's very true. Very true.
So maybe
I don't know
the U.S. Post Office was the same way. If we do this, the dollars will come rolling in. And right now, baby, we need dollars.
Yep. And it could very well be that.
Yeah.
If you can, take a look at the frontispiece of where the sidewalk ends, since you have that in front of you, and see if you can find Sarah Sylvia Cynthia Stout would not take the garbage out.
Okay. Let's see. I actually walked out of that room. I will walk back into that room.
See, we can be mobile while we're on the phone. That's a good thing.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Well, I'm always on my phone on these. So I can, if I need to go reference my real library, I can walk to it. Let's see. Does it have...
Sarah,
doesn't have a table... I know what you said, but it doesn't have a table of contents, so I might be able to find it by pictures.
Well, it's not really that important, but that's one where he talks about Sarah Cynthia Sylvia Stout would not take the garbage out, and the garbage piles up and up and up, and she won't take the garbage out. And, of course, disaster happens.
Right.
And so, you know, that's definitely like telling kids, take the garbage out. Do your chores.
And here's one that was actually made into a song.
Okay.
Boa Constrictor.
I love this one.
I'm being eaten by a boa constrictor, a boa constrictor, a boa constrictor. I'm being eaten by a boa constrictor, and I don't like it one bit.
One bit.
Okay.
Oh no,
that was
it's
made
up
into
to my,
a little
no.
song.
Oh gee, it's up to my knee. Oh fiddle, it's up to my middle. Oh heck, it's up to my neck. Oh drag me in.
Exactly.
I used to do that in my coffee house days. I used to do Shel Silverstein a lot in my coffee house days.
Oh, so we just heard part of your little reel thing.
Well, yeah. There's a lot of adult stuff that I used to do, which I will not do on this program.
Well, you know, I guess that doesn't matter because this isn't a children's store. This isn't a children's podcast.
Well, in that case, ever since my masochistic baby done left me, I got nothing to hit but the wall. Oh, yeah, nothing to beat but the eggs. And it goes on and on and on. So you get the idea.
I guess I'm not a man. So beating eggs is just making scrambled eggs for dinner. Okay?
Nothing to whip but the cream. Nothing to belt but my pants. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's men stuff.
Of course.
Okay.
Back to
okay,
the subject
well,
at hand.
Yes. I'm not sure if there's any more to say because truly when people start saying no, 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 about something like this, the stamp, it does make people want to go out and buy it more. Because like on my Amazon, a friend of mine just, lots of my friends are publishing books. So another friend of mine published a book. I think Amazon just brought it too to my house. And so I was looking at, you know, at the bottom of your Amazon is this stream of what you may like. If you like this, you may like this. Spend more money. Spend more money. Okay, well, mouse was there. And I would have never, ever seen mouse ever in my life probably if it wasn't that it was just banned in the book banning of 2022.
Right.
And the whole
of course,
controversy.
And
so
we,
now
we actually mentioned that in our Robert Crumb.
Right. We did.
Series.
Right, we did. And so there it goes. Most people never heard of it. Nobody had it in their libraries at home. And now everybody owns a copy. And and so somebody's making money. I know Amazon is making money off of it. Who else is making money off of it?
Well, so, Spiegelman's estate is for sure.
So there you go. There you go. Maybe it all boils down to we wanted controversy so that – because the rest of the stamps – do I – where are they? The rest of the stamps are really lovely stamps for this year. I may take up stamp collecting when as I retire. And they're really lovely. There's some African art. There's mariachi art. There's some, I don't know what that daisy is. I think that might be the African art. There's so many really nice stamps this year. The love stamp is really beautiful. There's the Lunar New Year, the tiger.
Right,
stamp.
Okay.
Blueberries, U.S. flags. I mean, Edmonia Lewis, Black Heritage Series. Garden flowers are really, really pretty. And so, oh, and the sunflower bouquet, tulips, Catherine Graham, just Pete Seeger, women's cryptologist of World War II. There's all kinds of really cool, the pony cards. Oh, I'm going to have to get those. The Mustangs.
No.
I didn't even know that. Yes. Wait, they're not all Mustangs, but they're all very cool muscle cars. So I need to.
Well, I prefer Corvettes. No, never mind.
A Corvette is not a muscle car. A Corvette
See, I thought you meant Mustangs as horses. And then I was going to say I'd rather have a Corvette. But the joke is completely
gone.
Destroyed.
Yeah.
Never mind.
Because these are, there's a Cougar, there's a Javelin, a Camaro. I've had lots of Mustangs, and I also own the Camaro. And there's a Challenger. A friend of mine had a Challenger. You know, the old ones. I'm not talking about the new ones.
Right.
So anyway, they have lots of different stamps, right? And a lot of people don't go out and buy these, but I'll bet you that Shel Silverstein was very popular.
Well, you know, to be honest, I hope it would be. You know, for me anyway. I mean, in terms of that, you know, for me, I don't buy many stamps. In fact, how many of us really use stamps these days? That's a good question.
Well, there are plenty of us who have people that, like, some of us, our landlords, still want the check in the mail.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's the one check I do every month, okay? But I can tell you this, the next time I buy stamps, if the Shel Silverstein's around and they have it, I'm going to buy it. But I'm probably
No, I really think more people than that are buying it, but that's just one of the that's the commemorative stamp. You have to ask for it.
I would
differently.
Trust me.
Yes. And so, African daisy, flags on barn, floral geometry, mariachi, Monument Valley. Oh, those would be nice to have. Palace of Fine Arts and Shel Silverstein. And so there you have it. No controversy here because guess what? They're out there and they're not gonna unmake them, okay? If that's the word,
true.
Said the English teacher. Oh, Monument Valley.
They're not gonna unmake them.
Yes. The mariachi. I know somebody who would like that. And these are the flower of geometry. Oh, nice. Okay, so that's our topic and our show. Seriously, I don't think we had as much controversy this time as we've had on our other two shows.
Well, it's interesting that the way that I pitch this show is that we generally will have a really lively discussion, and we'll look at things from different viewpoints. Sometimes I have a different viewpoint than you. Sometimes we're both magnanimous and we both look at things from both angles. And I think that's a very good thing. I think, you know, this type of discussion is needed on this particular, you know, and to have you on here with me and you know, knowing you for a number of years, we've always garnered good conversations. And that I'm really, really happy that you're here on Deviant Legion. Now, I do have a question before we go into housekeeping. Vicki, do you have any idea what you'd like to do for the next intent? Because we really have not talked.
Right. And no, I don't. There's a simple answer. No, I don't. I was doing grades yesterday. Today I was doing this other very important stuff for EL students. So no, I don't know what I want to do, but I did put my resignation in to my job on March the 15th, the Ides of March, and we'll see if my life continues. And then I'll tell you what intent will be about next time.
Well, may I just say congratulations on resigning from the job?
Yes.
Because I know it drives you crazy,
yes,
to the least.
The way it does now, it drives me crazy. It's not about it's not about educating kids anymore. It's about something else. And I'm not the only one who put in my resignation this week. So, you know, I can't talk about those things, but here's the point. I'm not the only one. There are hundreds of us who are so disappointed and so close to retirement that we just can't take it anymore. And so we're changing our lives. And that's a sad commentary on education in America. Sad, but that's the way it is.
Yeah.
And so, but I hope that I'm going to be on the next Star Wars show with you and Limes.
Okay. I'll have to get in touch with Limes. I know that he had some things that were going on, so we didn't do it this week.
Right.
But I'll be in touch. Absolutely. And may I just say something? I actually said this to Limes, but I've not said this to you. I think you two are made for each other as far as, you know, co-host and host,
yes,
or however you want to.
Yes.
I think
so too.
Yeah.
There's some kind of chemistry there.
Without a doubt. And he's really good. He was with us for a while, and then he went off to do some other things. I'm just glad to have Limes back. I'm glad to have you on these terms too. Now, just to let people know what we're doing as far as Deviant Legion, we have tomorrow, Patrick Crane and I will be discussing, along with Brian Wallinger, by the way, we'll be discussing the films and TV work of Larry Cohen. Patrick is doing a whole series of essays on Cohen's work. We've got to give him a nice plug because not a week from this Thursday, Patrick will be in Oklahoma City, where he's from, and he will be hosting a soiree and a couple of films with Lloyd Kaufman of Troma. So he gets to meet Lloyd Kaufman, and he's doing a so he's unable to do something that we had planned, which I'll get to in a moment. Then on Friday, this Friday, Adam Ferenc is going to be doing Cathode Ray Emission, and they're going to be looking at the films of Ernst Lubitsch, a very famous directors from the 30s and 40s. Then on Saturday, we continue our Women's Month celebration. Rachel will not be with us because she is at Gulf Wars in Mississippi right now, and she's having lots of fun, and that's a good thing. But TC and I will be doing a whole show on underrated and lesser known women vocalists. And so we'll be doing that on Saturday. On Sunday, TC will be doing his Rock This Town show, and he's going to be looking at very iconic songs from women singers, and ones that we all know. He's going to be working on that for Sunday. And that's what we have upcoming. We have a number of other things coming. And next Wednesday, we're going to, a week from today, we're going to be welcoming back author Danny Perry. Danny Perry wrote all the cult movie books from the 80s. And
what does that
Danny,
mean?
Well, he wrote a whole series of books, Cult Movies, Cult Movies 2, and Cult Movies 3.
Oh, okay. I get it now. What's his
okay.
name?
Danny Perry, P-E-A-R-Y. He
oh,
also
see if I own
wrote,
any of those books.
Yeah, and he also wrote a number of sports books, too. And he's very, very – I've had him on before, and we just hit it off really well. But Danny wanted to come back, and he wanted to – talk about the films of Val Lewton, you know, like The Body Snatchers and Cat People, those from the 40s and early 50s.
Right.
Val Lewton. And it's the 80th anniversary of Cat People. So we're going to be commemorating that film particularly, and then the works so we'll be doing that on Wednesday, a week from today. So we have a lot coming up. We've got lots more coming up at the end of the month, but it's not set in stone yet, so I can't really say what's going on yet. But we have a number of other people in line to come in. I've got another person I've got to contact tomorrow, a filmmaker that we'll be talking about, a woman filmmaker. But I don't want to say anything yet until we have that set. Hopefully we'll get her on before the end of the month.
Not Jane Campion, is it?
No, it is not Jane Campion.
Oh, good.
No, this is someone from Tony Strauss reached out to me.
Oh,
said,
yeah,
hey.
Okay. I think I know who you're talking about.
Okay. So, yeah, we've got a lot more coming. Vicki, do you want to just talk a little bit about your movie and what's going on with that?
Well, we have to build a spaceship, the inside of a spaceship, so that's our next big hurdle, and we have to do it within the next 2 months, and so that's going to be a big deal, building the inside of the spaceship. We already have somebody who's going to help us with the spacesuit, which is very cool, and that's not even going to cost a lot of money. It's going to really be the spacesuit, I mean, the spaceship that is going to be hard. And we still haven't found a damn library. If you have a library we can use, please contact me because I need a library. So the hurdles of filming, location. It came from that didn't come from people vacationing or people buying land to build their house on. It came from the film companies, because if you don't have your location, you can't do your film. Yep.
Right.
There you go. That's what's up with my film.
So what's the title of it? What are the websites? All that info.
Lake. Okay. Our film is titled Lake. Our website is epsilon v at, no, not at, sorry, that's the email. You can find the email there at epsilonv.com. That's UPSILONV. And you can see a very pretty website, and we should have a trailer up by the middle of April.
Well, I'm really looking forward to that. And let's see when we can get you back on, because we've been working with Vicki on doing an audio journal of her shooting the film. And so just let me know when it would be good to do that, and we'll schedule that, Vicki, okay?
Okay, yeah, because it's been quite a while. I think the last time was December or something.
Right, exactly.
It's
we need to have
months.
You back on.
Okay, yep. We'll schedule it. My people will talk to your people.
Exactly. Well, we want to thank everyone for listening tonight. And again, thank you very, very much, Vicki.
You're welcome.
And we also want to give a shout out to Doc, to Eric Goldland, who is
thank you.
Producing for us tonight, because my computer went kaplooey. We really appreciate it, Doc, if you're listening.
Yes,
and
you
I
are
think
very
at
welcome.
This point, oh, there he is. There he is. And at this point, we're going to say good night, unless you've got something else to say, Vic.
I have one more thing to say, and that is I hope to get some music in this, because I can't really begin and end a podcast without music, and it's driving me crazy. So hopefully we'll get some music in here to be bookends, okay?
Absolutely.
So,
actually, I'm working on that, and I was – going to try to work on that today, and the computer went kaplooey. So,
well,
I agree.
Need to figure that out.
I agree.
Okay. So, well, thanks for listening, everyone, and I hope it helped you with the stamp controversy.
All right. And we'll be back hopefully in 2 weeks with another controversy on intent, and we really appreciate you listening. Again, Vicki, my real thanks, and to Doc and to everybody out there listening. I think it's time just to say good night. Say good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.
Don't let the bed bugs bite.